And we welcome into the studio the gentleman who is the music director for the Charleston Jazz Orchestra that just kicked off their 12th season. So many great shows going on at the Charleston Music Hall. We are very happy to welcome in the maestro, Robert Lewis. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well. How are you?
And you just informed me that you believe, is maestro Italian for music director?
I don't know. I think so.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in here. The Charleston Jazz Orchestra, so much fun, so much talent, and just, you know, as the music director, I mean, how much fun do you have putting together these programs? Because you've got some great programs coming up in 2020.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. I have a good time trying to turn it from an idea into an actual event, you know?
Well, I mean, you've got let's mention the one that's coming up on Saturday with Nestor Torres. I mean, that's going to be a clinic right there. I mean,
yeah, he's a fantastic jazz flautist, mostly Latin jazz and smooth jazz. He sent us a bunch of charts that we're working our way through, so it's going to be exciting.
Now, you're a saxophone player yourself, correct?
That's correct.
And I am as well, and you still play saxophone with the Charleston Jazz Orchestra?
I usually take a solo or two on each concert, but most of the time I'm kind of directing traffic, shall we say.
As the maestro. But, yeah. But you also teach saxophone, right?
Yeah, I teach saxophone at the College of Charleston. I'm the director of jazz studies, and so I run all the... I teach all the saxophone players, but also, you know, run the top combo and kind of administer the rest of the program. So.
Well, as a saxophone player myself, it's great to meet you. The sax players are the sexy guys. My son's a trumpet player. They kind of carry the band sometimes, but really happy to have you in here because the Charleston Jazz Orchestra has grown in its 12 years. You just kicked off the 12th season with that Duke Ellington Newport Jazz Festival recreation, which was so cool.
Oh, you were there.
And just the fact that you know, bringing that to life so that people understand. I mean, I guess let's start there. I mean, I believe, but that's because I'm hanging around, you know, an organization like the Wando Band or whatever. Jazz is alive and well, but still there's always that challenge to get people to come to the jazz world. But in Charleston, it feels like it's really vital right now.
Yeah, it seems to have grown over the years. I mean, Charleston actually was about as good a jazz town as I've ever been in, even when I moved here 20 years ago. I think somewhat due to our presence, but also other things going on, audiences are starting to even grow, you know.
Can you tell us, I mean, how did the Charleston Jazz Orchestra begin? I mean, the origins of this, since you're in your 12th season now.
Yeah, so there was a nonprofit organization that got started called the Jazz Artists of Charleston, and there was a fellow named Jack McCrae, who has since passed, who... he was a arts reporter for the Post and Courier, but he was a big jazz fan, and he kind of decided that it would be a good idea to create a big band based on the Jazz Artists of Charleston organization. And so he put his money behind it and asked Charlton Singleton to put together the band, and Charlton was our director for a long time. So I was playing lead alto in the beginning there in 2008. I think our first show had about 200 people there, 175 of which were friends and family.
So it has grown.
Yeah. Our last show, the Ellington show you're talking about, we had almost exactly 1,300 people between the two shows.
So. Well, you know, and Charlton Singleton, a Wando High School graduate, we will point out as well. And also, I got to mention, because Cameron Handel, mm-hmm. My son's trumpet teacher, she's also in the Charleston Jazz Orchestra,
yeah,
right?
She plays trumpet. She was heavily featured in that show, actually.
I know. She's great. She's fantastic. Another Wando High School graduate. I know she's also played with Adele, and she's a great teacher as well.
Yeah, she was on the road with Michael Bolton for many years, too.
Wow. And then her husband, Jeff Handel, who runs the jazz band program and the percussion program at Wando, he's a great guy as well.
Yep. So yep.
It's a tight-knit community here in Charleston of jazz musicians and the jazz community as a whole.
Yeah. It's relatively small. We all tend to know each other. I'm always surprised if I hear about a good player that I don't know yet. So it's...
Well, if you're a good player, I mean, you know, may want to get in touch with Robert Lewis. I mean, the Charleston Jazz Orchestra, you guys have found a home, too, in the Charleston Music Hall.
Yeah, it's worked out really well for us over the years. We really love playing there, and they've been really good to us, you know, trying to work with us over the years to make it possible to do. It's not super easy to put together a big band show, and it's a bit expensive, but they've been a great supporter of it.
Yeah, we're big friends of the Charles Carmody, the mm-hmm. director at the Charleston Music Hall. And
yeah, just, Charles is great.
Charles is awesome, and the venue is awesome, and it's such an intimate environment, which would seem like the perfect venue for the Charleston Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they put almost 900 people in there if it's full, but it feels like you're right up on the stage, even up in the balcony. So.
Now, you've got a killer program of shows this year in 2020. And, you know, we mentioned Nestor Torres on Saturday night at the Charleston Music Hall. But I'm looking ahead to April with Jazz on the Screen and May with Women and the Rat Pack, mm-hmm. a tribute to Frank Sinatra. Let's start with Jazz on the Screen because, man, there's a lot to choose from there.
Yeah, this is actually the third time we've used this theme. And like you said, there is a lot of TV shows, a lot of movies that have jazz as their main themes. So we'll be doing some of that. But then we're also, we oftentimes like to rearrange things that people know and put them into a jazz style. So like right now I'm in the middle of writing an arrangement of the theme to Game of Thrones, but it's going to be like an Afro-Cuban jazz thing.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the unfair question. Do you have a personal favorite Jazz on the Screen movie or show or anything?
No,
off the top of your head? Like Round Midnight or Bird or something?
Round Midnight's good, the Dexter Gordon one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the one I would go with.
And then there was Miles Ahead about Miles Davis that came out a couple of years ago with Don Cheadle.
And I wanted to see it, but I never did.
I mean, you know, because it's such a rich environment for the artistry and the musicians, because oftentimes with that kind of genius, because that's really what you see on display when you see that kind of jazz and that improvisation, it's existential thinking. I mean, they really are improvising on a level that a lot of people just look at with their mouth gape, like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah,
and there's so much to choose from. And that to me is what is the most thrilling thing about jazz is performing without a net. You know, you launch into a solo and it can go in any direction, and it's, you know, the form might be the same, but the substance changes every time.
That's very true. Yeah. Now, it's also my favorite part about jazz.
You enjoy the solos then. You enjoy
that.
Of
course. Yeah.
And then we mentioned Women in the Rat Pack. You know, that's just got a jazz vibe, you know, all to itself.
Yeah, that's a show. Lindsay Haller runs this series that, in conjunction with the Music Hall, they do a lot of shows where women are singing what is traditionally men's repertoire. So they've done Women in the Rolling Stones and Women in Tom Waits and those types of shows. So she had the idea of Women in the Rat Pack, and you know, Sinatra and Sammy Davis and Dean Martin kind of need a big band behind them. So Charles and Lindsay reached out to us to see if we wanted to collaborate, and we thought it was a good idea.
No, that's a great idea. That's going to be coming up in April. And then I see a tribute to Dizzy Gillespie. A lot of people don't even know that Dizzy Gillespie was from South Carolina.
Yeah.
One of the true legends.
Chirah, South Carolina.
Chirah.
Or Chirah, depending on which part of the town you're from, I think.
And you got that coming up in September. And
yeah,
then,
and that features the great Dizzy Gillespie's like main protege, which is John Faddis. We're bringing him in with a NEA grant, which is going to be terrific. He's going to be here all week giving clinics at various schools, and he is one of the true masters of the trumpet.
Wow. And you know, and I see that you got the Gullah Tradition, the Sounds from the Low Country, in October, and we mentioned that the former director of the Charleston Jazz Orchestra, you know, Charlton Singleton, goes on with Ranky Tanky and wins a Grammy Award for Gullah roots music, mm-hmm. and you guys are doing that in October with the Sounds of the Low Country.
Yeah, Low Country Voices is a local choir. They do Gullah and gospel with a traditional approach, and Nate Nelson and I are friends, and so we put our heads together and are decided it'd be fun to try to bring them onto the stage with the CJO and see what we can come up with. So that's my next big project. So as soon as I get the Women in the Rat Pack all set, then I start writing up the Low Country Voices show.
I'm gathering that you like your job.
Yeah. I do.
And then, you know, what's become an annual tradition in December when you do the Holiday Swing, which is a Charleston jazz tradition, and mm-hmm. you take those traditional Christmas songs and then you turn them into jazz greats. And a lot of those songs, you know, I mean, a lot of people would think of something like the Vince Guaraldi Trio and what mm-hmm. they did with the Charlie Brown Christmas, but there's so much great jazz music that fits in with the Christmas vibe.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can swing anything, so Jingle Bells is pretty... pretty straightforward.
You can swing anything. I'm going to remember that. Now, for anybody who's listening that wants to know more about the Charleston Jazz Orchestra, I know you guys have season tickets, and then you have ticket passes that go for any events. I mean, you have a lot going on. You also do clinics and other things. I mean, just how can people get in touch with the Charleston Jazz Orchestra and find out more about what y'all are doing year-round?
Yeah, I think the main way to do it is to go to charlestonjazz.com. that's our homepage, and it has all of that information. The season tickets for this year are done because we've already had a show, but we do have trio passes, so you can get a discounted pass for three shows, any three of the season that you want. And obviously those will continue until about the midpoint of the season. But you can obviously buy individual tickets. We also do shows out. We're going to do a show out at Kiowa. We've been doing them every summer for some time now. We're also doing Jazz on the Screen in Walterboro the next day. So we're trying to kind of expand the reach and reach out to these different communities and stuff.
I had the great fortune over the last decade of being the host, the MC for Earl Klugh's Weekend of Jazz at the Sanctuary at Kiowa. My all-time favorite gig that I've ever had, meeting Earl and so many great jazz musicians. I mean, right now, Christian McBride, the bass player who's the curator for the Newport Jazz Festival, and just tremendous people. And when you're hanging out with people who are jazz fans, they are fans in the truest sense of the word. And I'm just curious to get your opinion on the state of jazz in general in 2020.
I think it's very good. I mean, when I was in college, all I heard was how nobody likes jazz. But in my experience, when they come to the live shows, they love it, and then they start coming back. So it's like any music that takes itself a little bit seriously. Sometimes you have to, for lack of a better word, help the audience along or educate the audience, but it doesn't take that much because the music's so great. So, you know,
and the musicianship and the quality of the performance, I mean, all of it just, and I'm, as a fan of jazz, that's why I'm so happy to have you in here. And we look forward to coming out to some more Charleston Jazz Orchestra shows and seeing you guys at the Charleston Music Hall. And I appreciate you coming in here, and we'll break a leg. We'll be seeing you on stage, and really appreciate the conversation, and keep up the great work, because the jazz community really appreciates
it. We'll come and say hi after the show, then.
We will. That's Robert Lewis, the music director, the maestro of the Charleston Jazz Orchestra, here on 105.5 The Bridge.